Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
When we love one another and walk in love, even towards our enemy, then we will fulfill not only the law, but all of the prophets as well. We don't have to learn all 613 commandments in the Old Testament. Instead, we just have to say, what does love tell me to do?
What's easier to do? Memorize all 613 Old Testament laws or love your worst enemy? Some of us might say we've got to get memorizing. People we get along with are easy to love. But Jesus was clear on his first and greatest commandment, which fulfills all of the Old Testament laws. Love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. With Matthew 22, verses 34 through 40, here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
The church has been given two great priorities that God wants us to do. One of them is the Great Commission. We understand that. That's our vision. That's our purpose. We are to go out into all nations. We're to make disciples for Jesus of all those nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to do the things that Jesus commanded us to do, and remember that he is with us always, even until the end of the age. That's the Great Commission. It's every church's vision and purpose. They might have a smaller vision or purpose that they focus in on, but that's the broad purpose of every single church. It's the broad vision. But there's also something called the Great Commandment in the Bible, which speaks to us about the way that we are to carry out the Great Commission, the Great Commandment. What is to be the mark of the life of every believer? And Jesus was asked about this commandment in Matthew 22, starting in verse 34. We're going to look at that in a moment. The title of our message today is, What is True Love? I can't say true love without thinking of the Princess Bride, but I won't give you that line from that movie because I'm sure that he didn't understand what true love was at all. But we want to know what the Bible has to say about true love and really how powerful it is. The Bible says so much about us walking in love that we are even told to love our enemies. There's no one that is supposed to be out of the preview of our love. We're to love our enemies. Then that's pretty amazing that we're given that much direction. So in Matthew 22, 34, it says, But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, this is the section of scripture where Sadducees and Pharisees and different people are coming up and asking him questions, trying to trap him. And Jesus is able to get out of all of their traps because of the wisdom of Christ. And it says, they gathered together, then one of them, a lawyer. Now this is when they saw that he had answered them all well. A lawyer asked him a question. And this is the kind of question that a lawyer would ask. And it does say testing him, saying, Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Now there's 613 laws in the Old Testament law. So what is the greatest commandment within the law? And Jesus said to him, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. So when we talk about the great commandment, it's about loving God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we are prone, I think our preset is loving ourselves. We love ourselves with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we need to learn how to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and probably should be a recommitment that we make to him periodically. Just remembering and saying, Lord, help me to love you with everything I have. I do love you and I want to love you. Just help me to walk in this. Then he says this, the second, he adds it in now. He says, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hangs all the law and the prophets. Now you and I are not under the law, despite the growing Hebrew roots movement, where people are trying to tell us that we are under the law. We are not under the law, and I cover that periodically, but we fulfill, you know, sometimes you talk about the spirit of the law in the United States, that they didn't do the actual law, but they fulfilled the spirit of the law. Fulfilling the spirit of the law, the Old Testament law, is to walk in love. And when we love one another and walk in love, even towards our enemy, then we will fulfill not only the law, but all of the prophets as well. We don't have to learn all 613 commandments in the Old Testament. Instead, we just have to say, what does love tell me to do as I'm interacting? What does love tell me to do when I'm driving my car down the road? I can tell you it makes a difference in my life what love tells me to do, because I want to get in front of everybody. But just backing up a little bit and letting someone come in, I can tell you I feel pretty good when I do it. I don't always do it, but I feel pretty good when I do it. But I am always looking for that way to get a little bit ahead. Now, neither of these are new to the Bible. Jesus didn't make these up. He quoted Old Testament passages. So let me read you what the Old Testament says. Deuteronomy 6, 4 and 5 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one God." This is a pretty important statement for Israel. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one God. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all of your strength." So he's quoting Deuteronomy. So the next time you're looking for somewhere to read and you feel like you're not going to get anything out of Deuteronomy, give it a try. Because the greatest commandment was found in Deuteronomy. The second greatest commandment is found in the book of, anybody got a guess? Leviticus. You already knew. Even if you didn't, that's a good guess, because that's the book no one wants to read. When you read Leviticus, you're like, all of these sacrifices, and you got the fatty loaves and the different parts of the animals that are cut apart and put on the sacrifices. But I'll tell you what, a study in Leviticus is incredibly powerful as well, because all of the sacrifices in Leviticus speak of Jesus. The consecration sacrifice, the sin sacrifice, all of them speak of Christ. But it is Leviticus, and it's Leviticus 19:18, which says, "You shall not take vengeance, nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord God." And of course, Jesus said, "Do unto others as you would have them do unto yourself," which is, I think, a type of the loving your neighbor as yourself. That if you ever wonder, how should I treat this person? How do I want them to treat me? That's how I want to treat them. And I think that's a good way for us to live. Now, do you indeed love others as yourself? Philippians 2, 3 and 4 says, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself," which is an interesting statement. We are to consider others better than ourselves, and let us not look out only for our own interest, but also for the interest of others. Now, in the Greek, there are four different words for love. There's eros, which is the sexual love, the passionate kind of love. Doesn't necessarily need to be sexual, but it's that attraction love that we would consider to be sexual. There's sturge, which is a family love. There's phileo, which is a brotherly love. And there is agape, which is the love of God towards us, and it is an unconditional love. I will love this way no matter what. Phileo, friends. I have friends that I'm fond of. You develop those friendships with new people. You have the sturge, the family fondness for your kids or your grandparents or maybe extended family. The eros love for someone that you are in love with. And then you've got that love that is unconditional. Now, Clint Black, the great theologian, I like to say, had a song that said, "Love is something that you do." That's what agape love is. It's choosing to love someone, not because you feel phileo, eros, or sturge towards them, but because you want to love them, you want to agape love them. Something I find really interesting about this agape love is that men are told to agape their wives, to love their wives unconditionally. But never does it ever say that women are supposed to agape their husbands. Isn't that interesting? I just find that interesting. Now, it does say women phileo your husbands, which could be translated be nice to them. It doesn't mean that women aren't to love their husbands unconditionally, because we're to love everyone. But God had to come to us guys and say, men, love your wives unconditionally. God had to set us aside, to call us out as a group. The Bible says that we're to love everybody with agape love. But then God's like, but you men, come here. Agape, love your wives. Love your wives unconditionally. Now, Romans 5:5 tells us that the love of God, this agape love, is poured out on our hearts. When we become Christians, there is a way in which we love people around us by the move of the Spirit, or by a special empowering of God, having His love poured out on our hearts. I think that sometimes pastors will make a distinction between non-believers and believers. Like, believers can do all of these really good things, but non-believers can't do anything that's good, when I don't believe that's true. I've got friends who don't believe in Christ, and they aren't too interested with me sharing with them, by the way. I'm trying, but there's nothing in their lives that I see that's different. They are sacrificial, they're giving, they go out of the way to help people. It's like to see that, and I think all you need is Jesus. I mean, I know that they have to change. I know that. But from the outward look, you just look and go, just accept Jesus. You're already there. You're doing all the things that a lot of Christians don't do. You're already there. But there is something special given to us. This special grace of God's love being poured out in our hearts. Romans 5:5 says, now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out on our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given to us. Romans 5:8-9 says, but God demonstrated His own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by His blood, we have been saved from the wrath that is to come. So when we say God loves you, God has demonstrated that love for you. It's not just something that we pastors like to say. Just want to remind you that God loves you. But from time to time, you need to hear that. You need to know God loves you. You say, but I've done some things that I shouldn't have done. That has not separated you from the love of God. You may very well be under the wrath of God if you're a non-believer. You may be under the discipline of God as a believer, because God disciplines His own children, but God loves you just like we love our children, and that's the reason we discipline them. I remember when David, my middle son, was very young, ran out into the road in between cars, scared me to death. So I ran out and grabbed him and brought him over and screamed at him to never do it again. He would have never have known that it was love that drove me to do that. But it was. I'm not justifying. I should have handled it differently. Nevertheless, it still was the fear of losing him, that he would run out and get hit by a car, that caused me to respond in the way that I responded. Now let's consider what some other scriptures have to say that help us understand why love is the greatest commandment. Love is to be all-encompassing. 1 Corinthians 16:13 and 14 says, watch, stand fast in faith, be strong, be brave, and let all that you do be done with love. It's in every area of our lives. We are to do it out of love. In fact, I believe that it is a way that we can stop from making mistakes if we really do say, I want to operate out of love. I have that commitment in my life. Now, also the Bible tells us that love is a way that we know that we love God? This is one of the most common questions that I get. I do a Q&A. Now it's Saturdays at 3:30. And it's on YouTube and Facebook, and you just ask questions through the comment section. But one of the most common questions that I get, and I get it over and over again, is how do I know I'm a genuine Christian? And one of the reasons we get this question so often is because we wonder, how do I know I'm a real Christian? Well, the Bible definitely tells us how we know. This is one of them. Love is the way we know we love God. This is 1 John 4:7-8. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Now, this is the agape love, that we sacrifice and put other people's interests above our own interests. Now, it also says in 1 John that by this we know that we know him. Now, it's really important when we're looking at whether or not we're saved that this verse doesn't say, by this you know whether or not people really know him. That's not what it says. Because we're not supposed to be judging, walking around judging people. Tares are wheat, right? You leave them alone for the harvest. You let God deal with that. But it says, by this we know. This is a self-introspection. I want to know I'm genuinely saved. I don't want to think I'm saved and not be. By this we know that we know him, that we keep his commandments. Because we have known him and we believe, we are changed, and now we keep his commandments. It doesn't mean we always keep them, because the same book that says, by this we know him, that we keep his commandments, is the same one that says, if you say you have no sin, then you're a liar and the truth isn't in you. It's the same book. So for us, it's knowing that I want to do what God wants me to do. I don't always do it, but I do it. I do keep his commands, just sometimes I fail. The same thing is true with you. So if you're here tonight and you go, I am a Christian, I'm following Jesus, but I don't want to keep his commands. What that means is you haven't really believed. Because when you believe, that causes you to act differently. It's not keeping his commands that are works that save you, but they are works that follow salvation when you believe. When you make a decision, I believe Jesus, I'm now going to live for him. So if you're here tonight, and I'm not being offensive to anyone, I've had people get really mad at me when I make a statement like this because they think I'm picking on somebody, but I'm not. I'm simply saying, this is the way you evaluate. If you go, I'm a believer, but you don't want to keep his commandments, then I'm not going to judge you, but I'm just going to tell you, I would lack confidence if I were you, that you've really been changed. Because when you've been changed, you want to keep his commandments. You want to be obedient to him. Now, love also brings perfect harmony. And I love this verse, Colossians 3:14. But above all things, put on love. Isn't that great? That'll tell you this great commandment, how important it is. I mean, the fact that it is the Great Commission, we got the Great Commandment, will tell you how important it is. But above all things, put on love. Above everything else, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Again, we fulfill the law and the prophets by walking in love. And when we, above all things, put on love, it is the bond of perfection within us. No wonder the Bible says in Ephesians 4:32, be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. No wonder the Bible tells us that the servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, correcting those that are in opposition. No wonder it says in Galatians 6, that if someone is caught in a sin, then you who are spiritual, go to them in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. There's nothing in the Bible that justifies being mean. Nothing. Above all things, put on love. That doesn't mean it's not tough love, and it doesn't mean it's not direct, and it doesn't mean it's not something someone might not want to hear, but it is always with the spirit of gentleness, and it is always without argumentation, and it is always with forgiveness. All of these things we are directed in the Bible, which none of them are ever, what some people like to say. You know what? People don't like me because I speak my mind. Not sure that's biblical. We need to hold back if it's going to offend. You realize that you're not being inauthentic if you're controlling your actions. So sometimes we think, you know what, I'm just who I am. And if people don't like it, then oh well. You know, whatever they would say, because I don't even know what you would say after that. But whatever you would say. So what you're saying is you're not going to walk in self-control, and you're going to end up offending people instead of finding a way to walk in love and say things in love. It doesn't mean you're not authentic. You can be authentic and find ways to encourage and strengthen, lift people up instead of tearing them down. In fact, I think it would be unbiblical. Now, how important is this love? It's the great commandment. It's to be above everything. Well, I love the first three verses. I love all of 1 Corinthians 13, right? It's the love chapter. But the first three verses gives us the importance of love. Listen to what it says. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass and a clanging cymbal. Now, if I speak with the tongues of men and angels, if I know every language on earth and I know the heavenly language as well, and I can speak in all of them, but I don't have love, I'm just making noise. That means in the language I know, if I don't have love, I'm just making noise. That's what it means. You can speak whatever language you speak. And some of you guys speak several of them. And that's good. But if you don't have love, you're just a clanging cymbal. And if you have grandchildren and clanging cymbal toys, you know exactly what he's saying. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and I understand all mysteries and all knowledge, that I have all faith, so I could remove mountains. Now, that's quite a list. And though I have the gift of prophecy, so I'm able to, the gift of prophecy can work a couple of ways. I'm able to tell you what God wants you to hear. I'm giving you a word from God. And for those that might have the gift of prophecy, just a little side note, throw in an I believe God told me to tell you in the beginning. That way, that's humility. But imagine if you could always speak into people's lives. You know, though I have the gift of prophecy, I understand all mysteries. And you understood all mysteries and all knowledge? You knew it all? You knew what the right doctrine was every single time? And though you have the gift of faith so you can remove mountains, which would be incredible, but have not love, I am nothing.
Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson. We pray that wherever you're listening from, the study of God's Word is encouraging you and strengthening your walk with Christ. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. Producing this program would not happen without the support and generosity of listeners like you. If you would like to partner with us financially, and Practical Christian Living Radio and TV has blessed you, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. We'd love for you to join us at one of our two campuses in Tucson. Our West Campus is located at 5170 South Julian Drive, and our East Campus is located at 8711 East Speedway. East Campus service times are Saturday evening at 6 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. and noon. Our West Campus meets Sunday mornings at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday evenings at 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. You can also listen live to our Sunday morning 9:30 service and Wednesday evening 6 p.m. service right here on Reach Radio Tucson at 106.7 FM, 690 AM, streaming at reach.radio or via our Reach Radio app on your Android or iPhone. If you have recently accepted Jesus into your life and you have questions about salvation, we'd love to help guide you in your journey. Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. Our local listeners can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KEGA 9 TV. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Tucson, where we are reaching for Jesus, connecting with people, and walking in truth.
Calvary Tucson has developed a discipleship school with you in mind. Reach College of Ministry is for adults of all ages who want a deeper relationship with Jesus, a stronger grasp of the Bible, and practical insight into fulfilling your God-given calling. Earn your certificate in theology in as little as 1 year, or enroll in individual courses for personal growth. Attend courses online or in person at Calvary Tucson's East Campus. Visit thereachcollege.org today to learn more and start this exciting journey.